Hey, Don, where do people need to check us out?
On thevalleyoutdoors.com.
And Facebook, of course.
Yep.
And all the cool stuff you're going to want to find anywhere in the United States. If you're going to make a trip somewhere, just want to go find something cool to do, you can buy
it. And if
right
you didn't
there.
File for your elk license in Wyoming, it's too late.
Oh, thanks for that.
Yeah, January 31st was the deadline.
Mer.
But most elk hunters know that.
Yeah, I would say. So the story I kind of teased before the break, a Minnesota 13-year-old won a truck in the Brainerd JC's ice fishing tournament. They call it the Brainerd Extravaganza. He's 13. He wins a truck. What do you think he can do with that truck?
You're not talking Hot Wheels either.
No, I'm not talking Hot Wheels. No, I'm not. He won it with a 9.45-pound walleye, which is pretty cool. You know how many other people were in it?
No, I have no idea.
Take a guess.
This is up in the Brainerd area, which is central Minnesota.
Hole in the Day Bay on Gull.
Oh, I'm going to say there were 600 people in it.
12,000.
12,000 people?
12,000.
Wow.
3-pound test line, tungsten panfish jig, and a wax worm. It was 29 and a half inches long.
You know, I think his biggest thrill of the day was probably just actually catching the fish.
Well, and the funny part is, if you've ever been in an ice fishing contest, everyone is on top of everybody. And how in the world a walleye that big can get through all those lines? I have no idea. It's bad enough that you're out there fishing on right. a boat when you see a lot of people fishing, right. much less a hole, because they all pre-drill, for the most part, pre-drill all the holes.
You mentioned that ice has got to look like cheese.
Swiss cheese. Kid called Zach Padmos, he's a 7th grader from Hutchinson, Minnesota. He pulled that off on the 28th of January at the Brainerd JC's Ice Fishing Extravaganza. And he won a new pickup truck. Pretty amazed, he said. And his father told the reporter, the reality that he could win the contest was quite amazing to him. He also, there was quite a few other surprise species that were caught. And he was expecting a tulipy when he hooked it.
Really?
It was suspended.
That'd be a big tulipy.
Yep. He outweighed the second place fish of 5.67 pounds. And another twist, the winning walleye wasn't the only fish he caught during the contest, held from noon to 3. Earlier in the day, he landed a tulipy just over a pound, and that he had not caught a walleye would have put him in 25th place. And for that, he would have won an ATV.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yes. Apparently, he was destined to win something that day. His dad was there. His grandpa was there. Uncle was there. And his two family friends were there. It was his second time fishing that particular contest. And his father-in-law said he fished that contest 15 times in the past 20 years. And I think Greg, his dad, fished it 31 of the past 33 years, and that's what kept leading him to the group of where the deep water was, where they'd seen walleyes caught in the past couple of years. He said they caught the big walleye about 2 hours into the contest after registering for the fish and subsequent hoopla. He didn't really fish anymore after that.
So I'm sure his dad will give him a ride wherever he wants to go.
I suspect.
Yeah.
Yep. He said neither one is any stranger to fishing. He and his dad estimate that together they'll fish about 350 hours each year, and they live in Hutchinson. He loves the most is to get out and fish. For taking the first place contest, you get a Ford F-150 or a GMC Canyon, courtesy of the Mills Auto Group. He picked the Ford, but we're going to sell it. He put the money into an investment that he can be used in the future. Having a truck at 13 isn't very useful.
Right.
The Brainerd JC's has donated over $4.3 million to more than 75 different charities since the first extravaganza started.
That's amazing.
It is.
Yeah, the biggest issue with winning a prize that big is the tax.
Yep.
You have to pay.
You got to pay for it.
Yep.
No way around it.
So a lot of times people that win a big prize like that end up having, they just sell it so that they can at least pay the.
And if you don't need one, you know, if you don't need the truck,
right.
Obviously. I still think it's funny, though. He would have won an ATV.
Did he not win that, too?
No, you can't win.
You can only win one prize. Well, I'm sure there's somebody with an ATV that's happy he caught the walleye.
I mean, it's crazy. So the neat part about that whole thing is a lot of times what they do is it's not that you're second place, you get the next prize, and third place, you get the next prize. They scatter the prizes out throughout the whole whoever catches a fish.
Right.
So that makes it super exciting because you don't know how you're going to end up. If you could catch a little sunfish and win a snowmobile or whatever is going to be there. So it really does lend it to a family to go out and have some fun with it because you never know. You don't have to be the best ice fisherman to do it. You just go out there and plug away and see what you can come up with.
Sounds like it's a great event as a fundraiser, and that's what you're supporting and having fun doing it.
It definitely has the pluses.
That particular ice fishing contest has been going on for many, many years. I mean, 20-some years.
Yeah, I think it's 33 years.
33 years?
Yeah. At least in that, been a long time. Yep, at least 33 years. So, you know, what's odd about a fishing contest like that, like we said, you punch a bunch of holes in the ice, so they have to be within a given area, you know?
Right.
And
well, it looks like a pincushion. I've seen aerial shots of those tournaments when they're drilling the holes. It's like every 8 feet there's a hole.
I know. So. It sucks. So, we'll tell you what, we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about a study going on in the Upper Fox River. I think everybody might be interested in that. Stay tuned. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. So, Don, have you ever fished the Winnebago area?
Yeah, I have. Lake Winnebago.
Winnebago, Wiggin, Butamore.
Yeah, I've only fished on the reefs on the south end of Lake Winnebago.
Okay. So you've only just, like, scratched the
surface.
A little bit of the surface?
Yeah, well, actually, it was fishing under the water, but the south end by Fond du Lac. I used to fish out there with my grandfather.
Gotcha. Well, I've spent a lot of time there, and it is a migratory.
It's a big puddle.
Flowage kind of thing, you know. What I find it's interesting with this is when you fish tournaments there, we talk about how the spawning happens up in the upper swamp areas or the backwaters.
The north end of the lake?
Yeah, in the river itself,
sure.
in the Fox River.
Okay.
So when you look at how heavy the pressure is on Winnebago, they're looking at almost a tournament every weekend in summer. I mean, it's heavy duty.
Plus recreational fishermen.
Oh, yeah, on top of it. And there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So when I go there, it's one of those things where I've done really well in the tournaments, and then I've massively struggled because it's one of those.
That was, you've had some times when you did not so well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you find that you go to point A, they're at point B. You go to B, they're C. So when you formulate a plan, things change. And, of course, weather has always played a major role, especially early season there. You know, cold, wind, rain, it makes it ugly and difficult to go anywhere. And that's the difficult part about fishing. But my point being, the fishery, they've always been trying to figure out what's going on with the fishery. Where are these fish at? How to find, understand the migratory scenario? Where do they do all the spawning? Well, the story comes out, Marquette, Wisconsin, and they've tagged these walleyes to figure out where they're at, and they're trying to figure out where were they going to go. And they, the DNR from Wisconsin started this study. They answered questions and document if the walleyes have changed where they migrate and spawn since fishways were added to the Montello Dam in 2014 and the Princeton Dam in 2020. So they're trying to figure out, okay, are they actually using these fish ladders, what they call them?
Right.
And we're coming into the first years where the fish have the ability to potentially migrate to a spawning habitat above the dams because the fishways were built. The jury, they say, is still out a bit, and the results having the upper Fox system passable now. It used to be, you know, fish get to that certain point. You
right.
know, you know, a fish says when he runs into the wall, damn.
Yeah.
It's a sad joke, but figure I'd do it anyway. And it blocks fish from getting to the spawning area. So when they changed all this, all of it was prevented really from getting to some premier spawning territory. And all of this, the flowage, in other words, the upper Fox River flows northwest from its headwaters in Portage before curving and flowing north-northeast to Lake Winnebago, 110 miles away. And lots of marshes near Princeton that are just prime areas to do this. So 16 fish get sonic receivers, and they can be detected by acoustic receivers, and they attach them to bridges in the upper Fox so they can see where these fish are going, which is kind of cool.
Right.
I think it's neat. So Walleyes for Tomorrow is a partner in the study, and what they did is they captured fish for tagging. They contributed funding, including offering a $100 reward for anglers who catch a sonic tagged fish and report the tag to DNR. How many times have we heard about this, Don?
Right.
It's pretty cool deal.
Right.
But there's only 16, so it's not like you're going to get rich.
Right.
If you catch, even if you catch every one of them. They said that the walleye population is doing well, but they need the studies to really get definitive answers and answer questions they have as far as the fish spawning areas. And they want to learn what walleye do and really get an understanding of how they can better increase the population of fish. So that's the key thing here. And when they look at the fish ladders and doing anything else, they really need to look at this because the intensity of fishing that goes on here is pretty heavy duty. And in this particular body of water, the pressure and the effect that pressure can have is pretty significant. They had a sauger restriction. You couldn't take sauger. There's a pretty decent sauger population in Winnebago. And, of course, the transitions between the lakes as well, there's a big population. But the fish have generally been smaller. You don't get a lot of much over probably 22-inch fish
okay.
population. There's some bigger, but it's not.
They're pretty rare.
Been hit pretty hard. Yeah, so.
So when do they expect some results from this research?
They haven't given an actual answer, but they're looking at completing the study in on December 31st, 2025. They're going to give it a good
couple of
three years.
So in the meantime, have they been stocking the lake to help?
They have been stocking. Yeah, they have been.
The resources.
The numbers.
Maintained?
I don't know what the numbers have been, but. Nonetheless, they've been working at it, and yeah. that's with the various charities come in play, like the Walleyes for Tomorrow. They've done a great job as well, really contributing to that.
Right,
so, kind of cool. Needless to say, neat story coming out of Minnesota, the Minnesota DNR 2023 Roundtable. You've heard about that,
yes,
and some top. Topics, the time spent, a lot of talking about the Tim Walz announcement on the second phase of one Minnesota budget, including the one-time $118 million get out more that we talked about last week. And that particular scenario was pretty neat. MN Fish, we know MN Fish from Ron Shera,
right.
A big push. All the people are out there working at really trying to help that and advocating for the basic infrastructure spending for more than a year where they've been arguing to get that completed. And that's when the 2022 session collapsed and the dollars that Walls earmarked for the priority never happened. And let's see if they can get that done. Opening conversation, they were talking about the economic future and the administration's overall budget. Hunting and fishing and other outdoor recreational expenditures drive Minnesota businesses and thousands of jobs, including the budget's economic portion helps deliver that message to the general public. So really getting people to understand what it does for the overall
economics.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yep.
And important there. Longtime leader, Howard Vincent. He was the longtime leader of Pheasants Forever. He's transitioning into retirement in June. And so that was a big thing to kind of kick hit that off in Howard Vincent Day. They also were talking about complaints that the roundtable content was running light on hook and bullet topics for an event that consumes a lot of Fish and Wildlife Division man hours and budget. Fish and Wildlife pays for 2/3 of the day's expenses. Eco Services pays for the other 1/3. One might expect more hunting and fishing content. That, however, has been a growing lament, and there's no sign that'll change anytime soon. But at least it was brought up. I like how that kind of poked the bear a little bit and see if they can change some topics. Technology creeping into the outdoors. A friend of mine, Jimmy Bell, who were talking about that as far as what is too much and will they look at changing any regulations regarding forward-looking sonar and really providing some input there. They're also talking about some of the residents in the wetlands area that 9,000 plus acres of public lands near Duluth and including trout streams. They're part of the culture in Duluth and they want the city to protect additional open space. And it was a very apparently lively discussion.
Yeah, it's very aggressive at the state capitol this year in Minnesota. I don't know about other states, but it's been pretty aggressive.
Yeah, which is going to be fun to watch. And I'm glad you guys are listening, not watching, and stay tuned next week. We will be here from Ava, Don, and myself, Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you with us. Have a great week.